calling the meeting to order. Debbie, roll call.
Ms. Carlisle. Ms. Llewellyn.
Here.
Mr. Gerback.
Here.
Ms. Iwamoto.
Here.
Mr. Mackay.
Here.
Ms. Soto Schwartz.
Here.
Mr. Tarapia.
Here.
I do certify that the notification of this meeting of the Library Board of Trustees has been made.
Thank you. And for our visitors, we have Judy Bueller from League of Women Voters and Alan Paulini Rich and Betsy Tracy from Staff Association.
Nope, they're... other way around.
Betsy. Sorry. League of Women Voters. Yeah, thank you. Sorry about that. Is there anybody else from the audience? Comments from the audience?
Are you here for Staff Association or anything?
No, I guess representing UH, but I'm
okay.
Also here because I'm in a master's program, so I'm serving for school.
Cool. Kate Atherton. Rockstar staff member.
All right. I believe we have a presentation from Heather.
And
to start off, and Heather and Kayla, yep.
So we left a brief report near your seats, and we're going to be talking about two of the newer workforce development initiatives that started this year. I'll start with Interplay Learning. So this is a VR job training service that we started at the end of January this year. It was grant funded. We got an LSTA grant to help us get this program started. And the reason that we started it is that the HKIC had VR headsets, but we were using it, and this is when Heather was in the HKIC, and we were using it mainly for gaming
fun.
Yeah. but this provided an opportunity to have a different application for VR. To help with some of the workforce development goals, and it's aligned with the strategic plan. So we took a risk and we just tried it. We were the first public library in Ohio to have Interplay. Other libraries, public libraries, were using it. We saw an article in the Library Journal from Georgia, and there were some libraries in Texas that were also using it. So this is something that HKIC staff and the workforce development specialty team really led, and you can see some of the highlights and outcomes. We've had 43 customers that have interacted with Interplay and signed up for it, and it is a commitment. It's courses that you complete. They take from 30 minutes to several hours to complete. So we do have about 74% course completion percentage, which we think is pretty good for the type of commitment that you're making. And we had info sessions, 44 customers attended those. And then you can see some of the other responses from a pre-survey that we gave. 84% had not worked in the skilled trades, and 46% indicated a desire to use the VR job training for a career change or a new job. I did attach some of the responses if you have time or want to look through some of the reasons why folks were signing up to use Interplay. This isn't everyone, it's just those who chose to answer. And we found that it did increase the number of customers who were asking about workforce development, opportunities that we had and services. And one of the most exciting things is that it led to new partnerships. It led to a renewed partnership with the Home Repair Resource Center, because part of it is many people were hoping to use it for home repairs so that they could do those on their own. And through, we invited the Home Repair Resource Center staff to go to an info session and to learn more about it. So they have access now, and we do like cross referrals. And they also, it led to them hosting their home remodeling fair here. That happened, I think it was in June, and they had their biggest turnout. I think they had 171 community members come. And then it also led to a new partnership with Ohio Means Jobs. So I'll let Heather talk about that.
So yes, Ohio Means Jobs. So one of the things, as Kayla just mentioned, that has come out of Interplay Learning is our relationship with Ohio Means Jobs. We have a community services counselor who's here. Originally, it was once a day, or not once a day, it was once a week on Wednesdays. That started in April, and then we expanded to 2 days, which means we've added Friday, and that started in mid-September. Or no, not mid-September, it was September 1st. Denise, who is our person from Ohio Means Jobs, she is of course here twice a week. She meets with clients, either clients who have called in and have applied through the downtown office or called her directly to then meet with her here at the library, or people who are here in the library and who drop in. She has become so busy, which is why we added the second day, and also requiring people to register, because she got to the point where people were trying to drop in and she was too busy. The other thing that came from the relationship with Ohio Means Jobs is that we now also have workshops, job skill workshops that are coming up, job search workshops, resume and interviewing. That's gonna take place next Thursday, October 26th. The first session's at 11, the next one's at 2. And in January, we're going to be offering the same workshop every fourth Thursday of the month. So again, beginning in January, we will have an Ohio Means Jobs trainer here to talk about resumes and interviewing as part of that job search workshop. Anything else? Any questions?
That's great. Thank you for the update. The course completion percentage seems super high. Is there a benchmark of, like, you know, Interplay considers 40% completion rate a great success? Do you know what I mean? It'd be interesting to see what that statistic is, because to me 74 is great, and I'd love to know if I know other libraries in Ohio don't have it yet, but how the other programs are stepping up, because that's pretty huge.
That is a good question. I think part of the reason why it's so high is because we have some power users who are going through like all of the electrician courses.
Sure.
Which is good, like that's why they signed up for it, but they're increasing the number of courses and they're completing all of those courses.
Sure.
And it leads to a higher completion rate. But that is interesting, even though most of them are from like 4 or 5 power users.
Sure, but still, that's a really, really good, for something like that, I think that's a high percentage completion.
We can also use it internally too.
Yeah.
So I know Tim has looked at it a couple times and we have a new employee, so hopefully they will use it as well. Thanks, thank you.
All right, and that'll lead us into the approval of minutes. We got a minutes for this packet. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes? Any corrections?
A motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
No corrections. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign.
The financial statement?
For the financial report, on page 2, you'll see that the interest rate continues to climb at Star Ohio, which is to our benefit financially. And if you turn to page 4, we have now received all of our tax money and rollbacks, and we've done fairly well there. In taxes, we've received $270,000 more than last year, and our homestead and rollback has decreased, but it's a net increase of about $250,000. And our PLF money continues to be higher than what the estimate from the state is, so that's a good sign. Nothing else really of note to point out. You can see that our interest income is over $300,000, which I've never had anywhere I've worked in public sector in 20 years because of the interest rate. So that will help our bottom line budget as we move forward. Does anyone have any questions or concerns?
Hey, can I get a motion to approve the financial and investment reports?
Motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Planning external relations.
No items on the agenda.
All right. Operations committee.
All right, we have the approval of GMP package one with Regency Construction for the Peace Park Playground.
Mr. Jurakic, I made some, I sent a corrected agenda today.
Yeah.
Because the first two paragraphs say independence instead of Regency. I copied and pasted and didn't make those corrections. So all the paragraphs say Regency. Thank you.
Okay, cool. For the Peace Park Playground Building and Repair Fund, whereas in July 2023, the Cleveland Heights University Heights Library Board of Trustees selected Regency Construction as a construction manager under a guaranteed maximum price GMP contract for construction at the Peace Park, and whereas in order to begin work in 2023, Regency Construction has split the GMP into two packages, and whereas Regency Construction has submitted GMP one for the following items. Do I need to read those?
Okay.
No, just all right.
We have a total of $743,995. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Cleveland Heights University Heights Library Board of Trustees authorizes the fiscal officer to enter into an agreement with Regency Construction for GMP Package 1 and to encumber $743,955 for the work. Can I have a motion, please?
I'll motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Ms. Flewellyn?
Yes.
Mr. Gerbach?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Sova Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarakia?
Yes.
And on the next agenda item, I received the actual change order contracts today to sign, and the first change order five, that's $69,523.10 through value engineering and negotiations. The actual price is $56,382.57. And then the change order six, which is $16,014.97, it will now be $12,480.41. And I got those numbers.
What was the 12,000?
$12,480.41. I got those after I sent out the first correction, so I didn't send them.
Now, what was the first one?
56,382.57.
All right.
Before we go on, I noticed as we were scrolling that the encumbered amount doesn't match the total amount on the previous resolution.
It should be 995. I corrected it.
995.
Yeah, it should be together. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's correct in the detailed breakdown, but in the last line, it's not correct. Nancy felt that. Okay, so now you can go to change.
With the approval of change orders, Sonoma Road Branch and BNR Fund, be resolved that the board authorizes the director and or fiscal officer manager to approve, sign, and deliver in the name of and on behalf of the library for the Noble Road Branch Library Renovation Project the following change orders. Proposed change order number five for bulletin number two, changes beyond the GMP for site work, electrical, and technology scope, $56,382.57. Proposed change order number six for bulletin number three, changes beyond the GMP for added storm structures, structural concrete clarifications, and steam line scope, it's $12,480.41. Proposed change order number seven for bulletin number four for electrical and technology updates and submittal clarifications, it's $12,424.50. Proposed change order number eight for added Creston processor for RFI number nine, it's $3,143.17. And is this total
the new
correct?
Total is not, no, I haven't changed the total yet.
What is the new total?
$84,430.65.
Okay. The guaranteed maximum price for the project and the contract to Regents, or is it Independence? This one's Independence, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Independence Construction is therefore increased by an additional $84,000 or $84,430.65 to be paid from owner contingency. Can I have a motion, please?
I'll motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Ms. Llewellyn?
Yes.
Mr. Durbach?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McKay?
Yes.
Ms. Soto Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarakia?
Yes. We have next an approval of fund-to-fund transfer. Be it resolved that the Board of Library Trustees authorizes the fiscal officer to make the follow fund-to-fund cash transfer from the general fund, $450,000, to the Peace Park or Peace Playground Fund, $450,000. Can I have a motion?
I'll motion.
And a second? Any discussion?
Ms. Llewellyn?
Yes.
Mr. Durbach?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McKay?
Yes.
Ms. Soto Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarakia?
Yes. And we have an approval of technology fund expenditure. Be it resolved that the Cleveland Heights University Heights Library Board of Trustees grants permission for the fiscal officer to purchase needed items in an amount not to exceed $700, a 402 technology fund purchase. And that's for a laptop. Can I get a motion, please?
I'll move to approve.
And a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Suspense.
Nope. Ms. Llewellyn?
Yes.
Mr. Durbach?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Soto Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarakia?
Yes.
That'll go to the Personnel Committee. Patty's not here, so we'll go over to Lori.
This year, the Staff Association membership were responsible for coordinating Staff Day, and so they provided us with the post-staff day development report. So they included, they used some of the same measurements that were used in the past, so you could do a comparison. And the first table shows the feedback from the purchase from the membership or employees about their impression of Staff Day. And you can see that it is, maybe you can't see, but it is, if you look at the combined excellent good, it's greater than 50%. And if you, I included last year's findings, and they were basically equal, not findings, but outcomes, they're basically equal on Staff Day, and how people felt about Staff Day. So you can read the report, and if you bring up Staff Day, you can see what some of the activities were. Of course, we might point out the members. The members were this year's Staff Day Committee. It's a lot of hard work. Heather can attest to that, and we had a great, from what I heard, we had a very motivated committee, worked very hard to get Staff Day up and running. If you scroll through the report, anything that's highlighted, those are employees who provided, employees who presented during Staff Day and presented prepared material and presented during the day. So that's the Staff Day report. And then we go into the Staff Day report, and which highlights the current job openings that we have. We did fill the staff training and development coordinator position with Megan McBride. She'll be coming to the next board meeting, the November board meeting, so you have an opportunity to meet her. She started last week,
last Monday.
And is, getting up to speed, as they say, a little bit in November. What else did we fill this month? We filled a part-time buildings assistant. That person started today, Berlin Phillips, and she is going through orientation this week. But we'll be ready to assist with the food bank on the 18th. You can see we got a lot of openings in security. We had some resignations, we had a couple involuntary separations, and so we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 positions open. We, with the supervisor and manager's position being open, we started to think about how we're going to fill or replace the security manager position, and we're and how do we plan to fill these positions and continue to provide security services to our staff, to the library. We started with a conversation with the adult services team in the last day's team meeting. Our management team meeting, we said, let's spend some time talking about any ideas, what they saw as working with the current security services, staffing, and where could we, suggestions of what was working, what wasn't working. We took a lot of notes. So we've got input from the management team. We're having some meetings this week. We're going to continue to look at how to reinvent or restaff. This function, we have heard across the country there's a shortage of security officers, police officers, so I don't think that we're going to be able to resolve this issue quickly. And we may need to rethink how we provide security work to the organization, to the staff. We'll continue to keep you updated on our progress. I think we don't have anyone new coming in, and I don't think we've made any job offers. We don't have anyone new. We continue to interview, but again, there just is a shortage of security officers, security personnel, so we need to think about how we're going to make employees just feel safe and secure. So that's the report for the mob. Any questions?
I have a favor to ask of the library staff that are here tonight. I mistakenly forgot to bring up the poster session posters from the staff room. So would you guys mind bringing them up and just lining them down the hall? And then when you are ready to leave, you can see them, because it was so much work and they were wonderful and it was such a nice addition to staff day. And
they're in the staff room.
I don't want you to miss seeing them, and I apologize. Thank you for helping.
Well, and we wanted you to stay.
I think
you should stay.
There are,
I missed something.
I think there are 16 altogether, so they each brought.
No, there are 12.
12, okay, so they'll each get. That'll work. Yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I really want you to see them. They are amazing. Okay.
That's great.
Well, Nancy, since you brought that up, rolling back to staff day, can you share Ben's poem with us via email?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just saw that.
You know what? I will get it from them. I don't have it in writing, but
just when you get a chance.
Absolutely.
You can see anywhere where we can get it in writing. So between two of us, send it out.
Thank you. So let me give you a quick Friends report, because yesterday they had their annual meeting, and I was lucky to be asked to speak, so I was there. The highlight of the Friends meeting was Suzanne DeGaetano was the special guest, and she was interviewed by Susan Ford, who is the Friends fiscal officer, but also, I did not know this, she's been in Suzanne's book club for like 15 years or something like that, and they're very good friends. So it was really interesting to learn about how the bookstore business has changed
and how Suzanne has managed to keep it alive through all the challenges of independent bookstores. And she really attributed it, one, to the amazing community in Cleveland Heights and east side of Cleveland, and also to the amount of programming she does. And she gave a huge shout out to the library because they do the monthly authors series, and mostly highlighting local authors. And of course, we have so many here in Cleveland Heights and in Cleveland that that is always an exciting event. The last book was called The Alchemy of the Blackbird, and it was essentially about tarot, and their main characters in the book are all interacting with the tarot readings, and sounds really, really good. It's Paula McLean's latest book. And then she recommended a whole list of books, and it was just a great event. Jan Jones, who is one of the volunteers who's been on the board, but now she's not on the board anymore, but she continues to work all the time for the Friends. We see her every week. She empties the coin box. She does a million things. So she received the Helen Sunshine Award, which they don't give all the time. They only give it when there's somebody who's truly deserving. The last person was Louisa Oliver. And Eli Auerbach, who I know from the Chamber, joined their board, and he's also a local author. And I think he's a stay-at-home dad right now, but he's got so much energy, and it was really, because he's also relatively young compared to most of the members of the Friends board, so it was nice to see that energy getting renewed. So it was just a really nice event. So maybe they'll come in December and tell us about their year. They have an October annual year, so they will have all their year-end reports, and they can tell us how they're doing and tell us how the book sale goes in December. That's when the really big one is. So these rooms will all be occupied the first week of December. The director's report. So I continue to announce that we're looking for applications for a library trustee. And I haven't gotten any recently, but I did get quite a few at the beginning. So at least four people were interested. I think I've only received two applications, and another couple of people said they would come to our information night, which is the last week before they're due, the Friday before Thanksgiving at noon. All this week, the bridge has been painted, and if you travel down Lee Road, you might have been stuck in the one-lane traffic. We're sorry about that. We promise not to do it too often, but the bridge really needed to be painted, so we're happy to have that done. The front door will be closed tomorrow, the back door will be closed Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then they should be done with the whole project. So we look forward to having that over with. Thank you very much for your vote on the GMP1. So the demolition of the Peace Park will occur in the first 2 weeks of November. They think they can get that taken care of pretty quickly. And we're gonna start taking a few things off that we wanna save for, thank you everyone, thank you. For the fundraiser for the Peace Park on November 5th, and we'll be selling special parts of that, of the wood and the blocks and the swing thingies, that's a technical term, just for people who want to have a little piece of it in their house. And we're also going to have a band. It's going to be really fun, and if you would like a ticket, it's only $25 to come. We are also continuing to work on ARPA and CDBG funding. We have to do another presentation for the city on October 24th. And we have lots of other new good things that are happening to tell them about, so I'm staying confident. I said Noble Branch was gonna get their steel this week. I spoke too soon, it's gonna be next week. There was some problem with shipping. Figures, I shouldn't have said it. Cheryl will tell me, never announced something before. I was wrong. And then I have to skip ahead. There should be more to the right. Oh, there it is. Okay, sorry. We did have a little secondary flood in UH basement that had nothing to do with the rain. It was a sewage backup. This has happened a number of times in the course of the building since 1953. I was told that where the PVC pipe meets the sanitary in the street, there's a little lip. And if something gets through the pipe and gets stuck there, it just grows and grows and grows until it blocks the pipe, and then it all comes back. Usually we have warning. The first restroom is the staff restroom, so it kind of does something before other places, but it was the night of the League of Women Voters forum, so there were a lot of people using the restroom all at once, and something happens, right? So Tim is looking into taking care of that while they're doing the digging for the backflow preventer, and he said, you know, normally we probably wouldn't do anything, but since we're digging anyway, maybe we can take care of that at the same time and get rid of that lip. They could just chisel it off so that it just goes straight down. You know, poor UH, they just can't win. But the forum was great and people were very appreciative, so thank you, League of Women Voters. Debbie and I went to the annual budget commission meeting, which is a gathering of all the nine libraries. My friend from Westlake calls it the nine families. And we had lots of representation from the county, and that was very nice. Mark Musson, our county prosecutor, was there. And there was a lot of goodwill amongst all the libraries because of all the shared programming we're doing, and because we're not renegotiating the PLF agreement anytime soon, so we can all be happy with each other for another couple of years. We are working on changing staff day to Columbus Day next year, so we now have a date, Monday, October 14th. It will be different because it's a Monday, not a Friday. It will be different because it's in October, but at least on Columbus Day, people might not be so confused as to why we would be closed. And we also give our planners a little more time between summer reading and fall programming to get things organized. We'll see how it goes. It's just a trial. I don't know what doing it on a Monday will do as opposed to any other day, but hopefully that will work out. We also don't get certain shipments on Mondays, so maybe a little less extra work for the staff. CPR training is coming to the library thanks to Davita Russell. She organized a meeting with us and university hospitals. I said staff are welcome to come, but the board is too. If you can come for a 4-hour CPR training, you will get your card, and it's good for 3 years. And it was just something that the community was trying to have more people trained in CPR just because it's a good thing to know. You never know when you're going to need it. And so if anyone is interested, you can register on our library programming page. Just pick November 13th, and it's in these rooms on Monday afternoon. We talked about security updates. Sam Lapidus is officially our interim security manager, and he and Kim have sort of split some of the duties, and Kim is in charge of all the vendor contacts, of which there are many, and they've talked to Power Alarm about the cameras, the alarms, and codes, and we continue to review applicants for positions, although Lori said they're very short, it's hard to find them. We do have one interview scheduled for this week, and we have a meeting Wednesday to talk about all things security, just to make sure we're keeping up with all that's going on, because it's such a high priority service. So if there's anything new to report, I'll let you know on Wednesday. You may have noticed when you came in today that the meeting room signs are working. Colin got that worked out this week, and that's kind of fun, and it's nice to be able to have it. And I guess you can push a button and see what will be next in the room too, but it may not be totally functional for a couple more days, but it was nice to get it up. Plus they glow, I guess blue if they're occupied and green if they're open, something like that. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yay. Yeah, very nice, very nice. And so I said they were on hold, but Colin fixed them in the meantime. Pretty good service there. We had our AST retreat last week, and we talked about continuous improvement processes. We talked about mentoring. The managers will submit a task tracker by the end of the month so that if for any reason we would have to substitute for them for some period of time, we would have a better idea of all the tasks that they complete by the day, month, week, quarter, annual, just some sort of a scaffolding so that we can help keep things together. We arranged this because this is what they presented at the retreat I went to in May, but it certainly became more evident with Kevin's absence that we need to have this kind of documentation. So I'm happy about that. The Greater Cleveland Food Bank is going to open their community resource center at the Waterloo location next week, and Tim and I are going to go. I included their partner list because many of them are from our area too. And so if you know of anyone who needs resources, you can send them kind of for a one-stop shop. The Euclid pantry that has been temporarily open in Euclid is going to move over to this community resource center. So, but it's pretty close, not too bad. And they are still in negotiations with other entities so that people can get many things there. One that's sort of glaringly missing is the Cleveland Public Library, but they have this location is right in between two branches. So they said they don't really want to lose people at the branch to go to Waterloo. However, we were talking about maybe having a computer presence there so people could download from Libby or look at the catalog or do something so that there is a presence, a library presence, no matter what. So maybe it'll even be CleveNet, maybe not Cleveland Public Library per se. And then I included Kayla's highlights. Cheryl, I don't have yours, I'm sorry. I don't think.
I just forgot.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm sorry, I don't want to say anything.
Okay, we'll catch you up next month.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yeah, sorry.
You'll see Kayla in a couple of presentations this year. She's involved because of all the grants. But it's kind of nice that this position is being so well utilized by mostly me, because she's helping with everything that has to do with the foundation, but also with all the grants and some of these extra programs we're doing. And I think it just shows that it's a way that we can increase our capacity to have a special projects person. I'm not gonna read them all, because some of them we've already talked about a few times, but please feel free to read. So Debbie mentioned that PLF is higher than we thought it should be by now, and hopefully we can make up for maybe some of the cuts that we're going to get next year when they do the flat tax, or maybe it won't be as bad. We just really don't know. And even with Howard Fleeter's report that we got, it still clears mud exactly how it will affect us. We don't know. So we'll have to ride the wave. We celebrated Banned Books Week, and we're celebrating the whole month here at the library. And at Staff Day, we had a wonderful taped report from ALA President Tracy Hall, who then abruptly resigned her position. So I'm not really sure what's going on, but she gave us a very inspiring message to let people, free people, read freely, and it was great. I happened to see someone from the Row Fan Club. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's downtown in the building next to Playhouse Square, that funky Tudor building. And it's an old club of pseudo, I don't know, intellectual people who like to get together. I don't know what it is. Last year I did a presentation for them about censorship, and it was very sort of like, it could happen, blah, blah, blah. Not so much in Ohio, blah, blah, blah. And here it is a year later, and it's all blown up. So we were just laughing a little about how it seemed so far away, and now it is not. Part of that presentation was about prison censorship. If you don't know, it's a huge problem. Prisoners are not allowed to read so many books, and someone opens their mail and takes them out, and they're not trained, and there's no, not necessarily rhyme or reason about what books get denied, but it seems to me that that should be a fundamental right of all people. A prisoner is still a citizen, and reading can lift them out of whatever desperate place they might be in. And so I just wanted to make a shout out for prison reform and allowing prisoners to read. One of the things they are sometimes denied is computer training, which seems like a totally ridiculous paradox, but they don't want them to be able to hack into something while they're still in prison. I think that's why. We don't really serve a prison community here at Heights Library, but I'm certainly speaking out in solidarity with all the prison librarians, and it's just not right. OLC did share that there were 93 attempts to restrict access to 79 titles in Ohio, so it's definitely in our community. It's happening in Hudson, Rocky River, I think Painesville, all sorts of places right around us. So although we feel like we're in a pretty safe place in Cleveland Heights, I wouldn't deny that it's possible that it'll happen here. And I'm glad that the board is trained and you know how to handle these things. And anytime we would get a challenge, we would bring it straight to you. Here's Kim's report of monthly activities, so you can look through those. She continues to serve on the ALA Council, and so we're proud of you for that. And all of your work with the managers, and Kim and I did the management retreat together, and we, if nothing else, we saved money because we were the presenters and we didn't have an outside facilitator, and sometimes that's kind of nice because we made it specific to our issues. And I think that's it for me.
Yes. Whew. So, like Nancy said, I went ahead and put out a quarterly report of my major activities that don't reflect the regular monthly meetings I have or weekly meetings I have with managers, or things like putting together the monthly public service report. So I'll continue to do that on a quarterly basis. Just picking out, I think, 6 to 8 major things from that, from each month. But I'll go into the September public service report, beginning with adult services, and several pictures in this report. So here Heather has included the puzzle table, which was talked about a little bit ago. So I think we actually introduced this in August, or nope, you're shaking your head, Heather.
No, it was September.
It was September.
Yeah, it was after.
We've already, at the time that Heather wrote the report, said a fourth puzzle was in progress. That may have already been completed, but that's been very popular. That's in a place where some of the magazine shelving once was. And as we've reduced that shelving, Heather and the staff have been reimagining that space. The highlight from adult services that I wanted to just kind of give a shout out to. Oh, sure. Sorry. Do you mind one more? Just do it.
Sorry. I was looking for the yellow highlight.
Yes. Yeah. I forgot to yellow highlight. But I noticed to Heather put the stats in for the Unpacking Our History recordings that are available on our YouTube channel. And when I calculated that, it's over 13 viewings per day during the month of September. So that's very impressive. And Heather continues to report on that every month for us. But that, I thought, was another thing I wanted to point out. Circulation, their highlight was that they held a passport walk-in. This one I did highlight. Sorry, Heather, I forgot your highlighting, but not everybody else is in. So typically, passport service is done by appointment so that Ty can make sure he's scheduling adequate staff, because a passport appointment can take anywhere from 15 minutes to up to an hour, depending on how many people are in a given family. So they had a passport walk-in day, and they planned it, put it in to check us out, and so they're planning another one for later this month. And they'll see, for a while, passports, once we got through the worst of the pandemic, passport application and appointments were through the roof, because there were a few years where people couldn't get passports renewed and we weren't going anywhere. So now that has kind of plateaued a little bit, Ty has said, and passports are no longer so vehemently in demand. So we will see if they can keep up the numbers that they've had from passport service. In the continuing education department, over in the HK, they upgraded both the media lab and the sound booth with sound dampening panels, which were also placed a couple of years ago when we got the sorter in circulation. So we use the same company that's located locally in the Cleveland area. So this just kind of, again, reduces the noise pollution and just makes that experience better for both the users who are in the media lab, and then the other customers who are in the computer lab or the STEAM lab. So I wanted to report on that. Coventry, we have many pictures from Coventry as well. Love scrolling, there we are. So there was a huge event at Coventry, and I have to remind myself of the stats. We're about 100 people for a Bluey Family Fun Night. And so Maggie has these pictures as well as a few others afterward. It was a beautiful evening and tons of people came, and so I think we had to really get the staff out there. There's more. It was weird the way, and then there are two more pictures. The way that when I was saving the PDF, the pictures just separated and I could not get them to.
Can I just ask what the floor is lava is?
Floor is lava. You have to jump from thing
like
to thing.
The carpet is lava, and they probably set things up, and you can't touch the carpet.
You can't touch the floor. Okay. The floor is lava. You fall off.
It's a classic, yeah.
It's probably a living room game.
I need a baby.
It's very good. Really popular, and that's very bright.
You want one?
Yeah, I'll take one. Send him over.
Okay,
thank you for letting me interrupt. Keep going.
All right, the Noble Report. Councilors reported on the fact that now that some of the summer programming has transitioned back to school visits, they started a book club at Noble for fifth and sixth graders, and so now they have a second group as well. So they are hoping to also do a book club over at Oxford Elementary as well. So again, just more and more outreach. And in fact, one of the poster sessions that's probably in the hallway is one that the Noble staff did on the outreach that they've done since the branch is closed and they moved over to the B&H building. So definitely take a look at that. They really have done so much in such a short amount of time. At University Heights, we didn't talk about another flood, but we talked about a new series. One of the youth services librarians there began a series called People in Your Neighborhood. And so different community members have participated in this. And during the month of September, they had the head of the UH Sanitation Department come in, as well as someone from Stone Oven. So they're really trying to just show a wide variety of different occupations and people that kids might see in their neighborhood. And then finally, youth services, I think there were two different highlights. First of all, we did receive a MyCom grant. We had talked about this, I think, a few months ago, but we were able to utilize that to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month here at Lee Road, and then there are more activities coming in October. And then we had it had been a while, our Read to a Dog program. So I'm sorry there are no pictures of the dogs, but Cheryl says that they do exist. So hopefully we'll have more.
Check our Facebook page. Just scroll back a bit to September.
Yes. It's been a proven way that kids can improve their reading skills by reading to an animal. So it's always great when we can do that. Maybe next time I'll have pictures. Are there any questions about the September Public Service Report? Okay, I'll just go into the circulation breakdown. Our percentages just kind of are holding steady. Physical items at 75%, and then our overdrive makes up the majority of our e-media by far. And then our streaming services, which have a loyal audience. They're just either their collections just aren't as big, or our customers are just really much more familiar and comfortable with overdrive. And then the next page should be circulation. So circulation continues to grow, although not at the numbers that we saw pre-pandemic. And this is, I think, pretty impressive that Noble is holding. You know, the last 5 months since they've gone to the B&H building, to have circulation in the 5,000 range to 6,000 range is great. They are really good about rotating their collection. We also get some of their collection that goes out on holds for customers. So just ways for us to make sure they're getting circulation, customers are getting new materials and children's materials. But if you've been in the B&H space, you know there's not a lot of shelving room for materials, but they're making the most of it and really trying to target that as a popular collection for customers. And then our visitor numbers kind of indicate also where we are. So it's funny looking, last year, of course, the numbers were so low at UH for a few months after the flood, especially in September when we were closed at UH for about half of it. So their numbers are bouncing back and Noble's are lower. Coventry and Lee Road both saw improvements from last year at this time. So that's where we are. I'm sure our visitor numbers will increase from 2021 and 2022, but probably will not be within what we saw before the pandemic. And then the next report comes from Matt, the quarterly public computer statistics report. And Matt has broken this in color-coded by location, as well as percentage of time used per station. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that and have any questions, Max here can answer them. I don't know if there's anything specific to say. I mean, I see the note there that all the B&H computers are in the Noble category. Does anybody have any questions about this report in particular?
So the time used per station is like out of the 872 hours, 37% of the time. That station
it has to do with the number of hours that are open, how many stations are in each area, and the amount of time used for that area, divided by the number of computers versus the number of hours were actually open. So time used, hours open, you get a percentage. Things haven't changed much since the previous quarter. There are slight fluctuations in the same way that we get slight fluctuations in circulation or visitor numbers. There are certain features that at some point we'll probably want to talk about adjusting certain areas from being reservable computers, which means you can reserve something ahead of time. You can still walk up onto those if they're not actually reserved. Versus the waiting list areas, which is the majority of our computers, which are first come, first serve, and once they reach 100% full in the area, then a waiting list pops up and somebody can add themselves to that. That was a very frequent thing pre-pandemic. So far this year, we've had only 30-ish instances of a waiting list occurring at all, anywhere in the library system. And in each one of those cases, it was pretty much, there was one extra person waiting. It used to be that you'd have a lot more people waiting in waiting lists, and you'd actually get numbers of like how long they were waiting becoming significant. And we just don't see that now. There's just not as many people using the devices as there were before. The number of reservations is down significantly as well. So.
We do see a lot of people sitting around using our Wi-Fi with their personal computers.
Yes. Yeah.
They're always parked outside the end.
There's still quite a bit of use. It's just not as much like all day long as the way it used to be. Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't think we have any other statistical reports. I don't have anything else right now.
Okay, unfinished business. New business.
You know, I was wondering though, maybe at the November committee meeting, we could set aside some time to talk about the Peace Building and just some updates that we've been mentioning on and off, but haven't had a chance to discuss as a group.
Yes.
Just kind of a general update.
I have a call tomorrow, so I will be getting a lot of updates tomorrow. Okay. There have been a number of facility needs over there that are going to probably cost us some money, so I'll see if I can get Emily from Playhouse Square to write them all down.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Just even have some time on the committee, just a couple minutes, nothing major,
right.
But
yeah.
We've had a lot of other things going on, which would be good.
Right.
And we haven't chatted about it recently.
I know they did a tour today for specific issues that have come up between the tenants and the Playhouse Square. I'll get an update tomorrow.
Great.
Right.
Does the personnel committee need time for Nancy and my evaluations, or are you still working internally?
I haven't heard an update from Patty for a little while, so I'm thinking after this week her calendar opens up a little bit.
Let me know any time up to the Friday before the meeting. I can put an executive session in if you need it.
Okay. Can we get a motion to adjourn?
A motion.
I motion.
I'll be
a second.
All right.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you for your time.
Please take your time as you walk through. Thank you, staff, for bringing those up.
I